way they pick TV shows is they make one show. That show's called a pilot. Then they show that one show to the people who pick shows. And on the strength of that one show, they decide if they want to make more shows. Some get chosen and become television programs. Some don't. Become nothing.
Hello and welcome to Drop the Pilot, a podcast dedicated to TV pilots that became nothing. I'm Jimmy Brown, and today I am joined by Sofa Dogs' very own John Pavlich. Welcome back, John.
Hi.
Yay. This episode, we shall be talking about The Owl from 1991, written and directed by Tom Holland of Fright Night and Child's Play fame, based on the 1984 novel by Bob Forward. This pilot has two versions, the aired on CBS one, that credits Holland as a director, and the European feature-length one that debuted on VHS that states that Alan Smithy is the director. John, could you explain to our listeners who Alan Smithy is, please?
Of course. Alan Smithy is a fake name used by people in the film and television industry who do not want to be credited with the work.
Yeah.
Usually, creative differences happen, or they're just not happy with the final product at all, and so they just want to distance themselves from it and not be associated. So, for instance, Hellraiser 4 Bloodline has the credit of Alan Smithy as director, but it was directed by effects artist Kevin Yeager.
Yeah.
That's an example, you know, of an Alan Smithy credit. And, you know, you're likely to see that in a number of things. Sometimes, yes, a pilot, for example.
Yeah, and also, ironically, Tom Holland is actually in one of the added scenes in the movie version that is attributed to Smithy. Yeah, he plays a rapist in the beginning scene. Yeah, the owl is saving Danny from a rapist, and it's a silent scene. There's no talking, and it's like 30 seconds long, and he punches him. And that's it. That's just before the opening credits.
I feel it's also important to point out that we're talking about Tom Holland, the director, not Tom Holland, Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's why I said Fright Night.
And Child's Play, yeah. Two completely different people.
Yeah. Yes. John, dare I ask what you thought of The Owl?
Well, if you didn't, this would be a short episode.
Yeah.
So this was made in 1991.
Yeah.
Depending on when exactly in the year that it was released, I should say, I would have been either 10 or 11.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, I'm sorry.
Oh, you forgot. 11
or 12. Well, I always have to remember to like whatever the year is. I have to like add one because I was born in 79. So
right. Okay.
So yeah, at that time, if I had seen this when I was that age, I would have loved it. I would have thought it was the coolest thing ever, and would be like, "Oh my god, I want to see more of this. This is awesome." I am 39 now, and this thing is a hot piece of garbage.
It really is.
It is really cheesy and like trying so hard to be cool and falling on its face at almost every turn. It is what an old white guy thinks is cool in it, and it's. Like, there's a lot of, like, old-style, like, Western tropes in it, but it's brought to, like, an urban, modern, 90s setting, and it just does not work.
No.
And then, like, some of the stuff in it, I'm just like, I'm sorry, what? Like, that's not how that works.
Yeah.
You know, or that's just downright silly. But it doesn't mean I didn't have fun.
Yeah.
But I do understand why this was not a series.
Yeah. On the plus side, Brian Thompson got paid.
Yeah. Always fun to see him.
Albeit in a small role.
Right.
Right. Okay. So let's go through this. After some very late 80s, early 90s opening credits, I actually quite like the theme tune.
Oh, I like the music in this thing throughout. It's by Sylvester LeVay. Who did a lot of scoring for 80s movies. He's credited as doing additional work for 3 o'clock High.
Right.
And I really like the music in that. Of course, that's mostly Tangerine Dream, but But all yeah, right, he does good stuff.
We meet a little girl called Lisa and her dad, who leave a yellow cab to enter a bus station. The dad tells Lisa to stay at the seats while he walks off, only to be cornered and led away by some thugs who say, "You should have talked, Doc." Time passes and Lisa realises her dad isn't coming back and leaves the station to wander the streets alone. She promised to stay where she was. That's sort of setting up something there that plays throughout the episode. There's that even though her dad is away for ages, she did promise to stay where she was and she breaks that promise.
Yeah, although she did stick it out for a while. I got to give her credit. She stayed there longer than I would have.
She did. Nighttime now, and Lisa finds herself sitting outside a convenience store that just so happens to be getting robbed, because, you know, of course it is. Two vice cops enter, much to the annoyance of the robbers, and the main bad guy says he would love to kill a cop, especially a female one. And then they hear a whistle.
So far at this point, I'm not really questioning anything. I'm just kind of like it's still early, and we're just now getting introduced to our main protagonist. The owl.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, all right, I'm just going to go with it for now. Although when the little girl first, got up from her seat and then just sort of walked out and started wandering the streets,
yeah,
I did in the back of my mind wonder, why didn't she just immediately find an adult? Like in the, was it a bus station or a train station they were in?
It was a bus station, I think.
And just like go to someone at the desk and be like, excuse me, I'm lost. Like just yeah, like as it, like, you know, like I need a place to stay or I need somebody's help. Because like later on, she gets asked, you know, why didn't you go to the police? And she just says, are you kidding? And it's like, no, it's a good like question. Like, why didn't you go to the police?
Yeah, there's probably security guards there at the station.
Right.
There's probably someone who was trained.
Sure. So, yeah. So I'm kind of going along. You know, it was like, all right, let's see where this goes. I won't.
Not judging it.
Not yet. I'm still open minded and just like, not until I see something really ridiculous am I gonna say anything.
The whistling man walks right by the main robber, up to the counter with some groceries. Completely bemused by this, the main robber shows the man his gun and tells him there's a robbery going on. The man says he will only be a second, and not to slow him down as he is in a hurry. The female cop says to take his advice, but the main bad guy tells her to shut up, which is rude. He tells the man he will show him how to slow down and draws his gun on him. That was slow him down, all right, but it's a silly line.
Which there are a lot of in this pilot.
Yes. Yes. Sorry, Tom Holland. You're great as Spider-Man, but you're not a good writer.
Stop that. You're going to confuse people.
Did he write Fright Night? He didn't write Child's Play. That was Don Mancini.
Right.
But he wrote Fright Night, I think.
Yeah, I believe he did.
As well as directed, yeah.
Which I love Fright Night, and he is apparently currently writing a third Fright Night
idea
as a book. He's writing a novel.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I'll read that.
Yeah, totally.
No, I'll say I'll read that.
I would like to read it.
I probably would. It would take me ages to get through it. I'm not a big reader. As you can probably tell by the fact that I've got written notes here and I'm just babbling.
Well, maybe there will be an audio version.
Yeah, well, that would be good.
Read by Tom Holland, the actor. That'd be great.
Oh, excellent. That's a good idea. That would confuse loads of people. The man grabs the guy's gun and proceeds to kick another robber. The ensuing fight, which includes gunshots, gets the attention of Lisa, who's still outside. The man gives bad guy number one a choice of walking to the squad car or being carried to it, which the robber calls him a mutant, and then gets kicked through the window for his troubles.
Which is a weird insult to throw at somebody at the beginning, but then by the end of the episode, I'm like, well, maybe he is a mutant, I don't know.
Maybe
he seems to have supernatural powers of some kind, so whatever.
Yeah. So I'm assuming this robber knows who he is. He knows him by reputation.
The show seems to imply that he is this sort of urban legend around these parts. Yeah. You know? I will say that it's weird that we know the actor Adrian Paul from the Highlander series, which thankfully this didn't become a thing, because then he wouldn't be able to go on and star in that. But We know he can fight, and a lot of the fight choreography is edited like crazy, and so like we don't really get to see much of it. We just get little insert shots of like fists hitting people.
It's slightly longer in the other cut.
Ah.
And there's more gunshots. Here, Lisa gets alerted to by one gunshot, but in the other version, there's two, and she doesn't really realize what's going on until the second one. So, yeah, it's a little bit longer in that version. It's still not shot particularly well. The thing about Adrian Paul is he's a martial artist, I'm assuming. Is he French?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he's not particularly good at delivering lines in English.
No.
It's not his strongest suit as saying things in English. I mean, I'm Scottish, so I want to talk.
Well, I mean, it was weird because, like I know what the guy sounds like, and it was as if they were trying to hide his accent.
Yeah.
And it's like, why even bother? Like,
and he's got a French second name as well. Because you hear it later on, it's like Boudreaux or something, but it's a...
Yeah, or
it's a,
something.
Yeah, a French-sounding name that it has, so I don't understand why he's trying to pretend that he's American. Yeah, so the man who we learn is called Alex, finds drugs on the passed-out lead robber, and the female cop asks him how he's doing. Alex said, same old. As he is about to walk away, the male cop, Billy, runs outside with his gun drawn, telling Alex to stay where he is. The female cop, Danny, tells him that Alex saved their lives and to put his gun away before he gets mad. We see that Alex has his, that the owl has his hand on his gun. He's just sort of ready to shoot a cop.
Yeah. What was the guy's name? Billy?
Yeah.
I'm actually on his side on this one because...
Yeah, vigilante.
Again, like, that's not how that works. Like, just because you saved their lives doesn't mean you can just walk away and then even threaten to pull a gun. Like, what are you going to do? Like, you can't just do whatever you want. Like, if nothing else, like, you're supposed to get a statement, you know, give a statement to the police. Then maybe you can leave.
Yeah.
But he says, you know, look at he has a gun on him. Does he have a license to carry that gun? Does he have a permit? Like,
so nobody's noticed this preteen girl standing just to the side, overhearing everything. Alex is the owl. And if you have a cause and the right price, he will help you out. Exposition. Also, Alex can't sleep, hence the name the owl. Don't owls sleep?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, so is it just because he's up all night?
Pretty much. Well, later...
He does fall asleep later on.
He does, but it gets revealed that he can apparently see in the dark.
Yeah.
Which is something...
So is he actually a genetically engineered human being?
This is the thing, I don't know. I was waiting, like, oh, maybe if this had gone to series, like, we would have seen him fly and turn his head 180 degrees.
Yeah.
Like, they're really digging in hard to this owl thing. They want to earn that name. It's like, it's...
And his eyes glow as well?
Yeah. Like, can't it just be a name? Like, why do you gotta...
If we had enough time, I would have read the book to see if the book... shed any light on this.
That's right, I keep forgetting it's based on a book.
I very highly doubt that he's actually supposed to be genetically engineered. I think he's just a human being who doesn't sleep very well and has honed his senses somewhat, which doesn't make any sense because, you know.
Right, well, because they actually say, like, the woman actually puts a number on it. She says that he hasn't slept in, I think it was like 8 years or something like that. Which, yes, there is a term for people who you know, go a certain period without sleeping. I think the record is like 11 days.
Yeah.
But 8 years, it's not physically possible. Like, your body begins to break down.
Yeah.
If you don't sleep.
I think the idea is, actually, but it's not really mentioned, but we do see it, that he does fall asleep. But his nightmares of his family getting murdered keep waking him up.
Right, but again...
That's not really said, but we just sort of see it in one scene.
Yeah, we see it once, you know, when he's on the bus. But, like, there is a thing that your body will do. Your body will make itself go to sleep
mm-hmm.
in a certain way for, you know, a short period of time. They're called micro naps.
Yeah.
So I guess that's kind of what he was doing.
But you can't live in micro naps, though.
No, you can't. Like I said, your body would physically start to break down.
Yeah, he's got to be genetically engineered. He's got to be a mutant.
Right.
Or of some sort, which would have been nice to know for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, they really keep things really vague. I guess the idea is they want to, like, create some mystery for the audience to keep them coming back. And it's like, I think you guys held off a little too much to where, like I'm just kind of angry that you're not telling me what the hell is going on.
Yeah, and it isn't mentioned in the longer version either.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah. So Lisa is following the owl, and not very well. At a bar, we meet the bartender, played by Brian Thompson, who is usually a bad guy, so, you know, it's nice to see him play a good guy here. We assume he's a good guy, but, you know, it's Brian Thompson, you never know. He gets kind of pervy later on, which is...
Yeah, I mean, it's like, clearly he said it as a joke, but the fact that he said it at all was like, dude.
It's the fact that it's Brian Thompson, and he usually plays creeps.
Right.
When he says, "Is this your girlfriend? She's hot," and then laughs, it's kind of really creepy. he just can't help it, the poor man. He's going to seem creepy because of all the other roles he's played.
Right.
But I am glad he's played a good guy here. He's playing a nice guy. Lisa enters the bar and tells the owl that she wants to hire him. She offers him a year's worth of allowance, which is $520, but it is hidden in her closet. The owl starts to get flashes of another girl when he looks at Lisa. At this point, we can only assume it's his own daughter. He tells her that he's not interested and to call her mum. But Lisa says her mum's died. There's a difference in the longer version. I'm just going to say this, okay? Because I might as well, since we're here. That when the owl leaves after he sat Lisa on the bar and says to the bartender, "Take her home. We'll make sure she gets home." She leaves after the owl, but as soon as she gets outside, he's not there, and she's screaming, and then the owl is walking away, and he stops, and you can see he's visibly upset. Well, this child is shouting and screaming at him, but she doesn't know where he is. He's, like, ran away. But then the bartender comes out and picks her up and says, "Come on, honey, it's too cold out here," and he carries her inside. And you actually see that bit when he's carrying her back inside to in the opening credits.
Hmm.
So there's actual scenes in the opening credits that are only in the longer version, as well as scenes of Alex training. You can see that in the opening credits as well, but that's only in the movie version, and they're just padding.
Yeah, clearly it was a thing where like they only made this pilot, and so that was the only footage they had.
Yeah.
So of course they're going to get the most out of it by like let's put it in our opening credits.
Yeah. The bartender's got a metal plate in his head, and, you know, being a kid, Lisa just outright asks him how he got it. The bartender tells her that he got shot by the owl. It's cool, though, because the bartender was trying to kill the owl.
I do like the exchange of, like why did you try to shoot him and see it's... or try to kill him, and he says, "Get to know him a little longer, you'll understand."
But they see, that's the thing, though. The owl, he seems like an okay kind of guy. He's just... obviously someone who just wants to be left the F alone.
Right, he's suffering from PTSD.
Yeah.
From losing his family. But, like, we're given no further context as to, like, who his family were.
Yeah, and nobody else knows. Danny doesn't even know.
Yeah, we don't know who his family was.
No.
We don't know, you know, why they were killed. We don't know who that guy is. I mean, we find out his name later on, and he's conveniently connected to these drug dealers.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's all so vague.
We do find out in the longer version.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We then see Lisa's dad, who is in a glass and metal container type thing. Don't know what you would call that. Water is rising over his head.
He's in a glass case of emotion.
No.
Well, that was funny because, like, this is clearly a contraption that someone built.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could see, you know, Tom Holland probably giddy over his typewriter, like, writing that, or maybe a word processor.
Yeah.
Writing that and thinking, like, oh, yeah, this will be really cool. It's in this glass case, you know, and it's filling with water, and the only way to keep the water down is he has to keep pedaling on this stationary bike.
Yeah.
But it's a very, like, cartoon supervillainy thing.
It is.
Like, lot logistically and in the real world, like, no one would actually have such a thing.
Yeah.
Especially not, like, you know, small-time drug dealers and their drug kingpin.
That's the thing. A lot of this would actually make more sense if it was based on a comic book.
Right. And it feels like it wants to be a comic book so bad.
It does. Yeah, you're right. Because the owl is a genetic mutant.
Mm-hmm. It has like an anti-hero Wolverine lone man nomadic kind of thing, you know.
The bad guys tell the doctor that if he wants to live, he must give them the formula. The bad guys leave him to cycle away, and the main dude called Ice tells one of his lackeys to find the formula. He has another lackey's got a huge boombox on his shoulder, which he switches on as commanding. So did you notice something about Ice and the way he speaks?
Yeah, I did notice. Pretty, almost instantly I noticed.
Well, for people who haven't watched this, good for you. But Ice speaks in rhyme, but only when the boombox is playing music. He speaks normally and then tells his lackey to put the boombox on. And the extended version, the movie version, he has like three more scenes and it happens more in that.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
See, this is what I was talking about. Like, it's very early 90s, but it's also like a white guy's idea of what cool is at that time. It's like, yeah, let's have this guy. And he like... he can just snap his fingers and one of his thugs will turn on a ghetto blaster and he can just rap at the guy and it'll be really cool. No, it is super lame and annoying. Stop it.
The owl leaves a cafe and Lisa is standing outside. She tells him that the bartender dropped her off and that the owl should take her case. The owl's not convinced. They bicker for a while until she starts crying. He agrees to take her home and she replies that there is nobody home and he can't just leave her there. He finally agrees to look for her dad as long as she shuts up, but she doesn't. So the bartender seems to know the owl better than the owl knows himself. At Lisa's house, the owl has more flashes of his child and his wife, I'm assuming. He notices that the door is open, so he tells Lisa to stay outside. It is here that we learn one of his guns is an air pistol with sleep darts in it to knock out anyone except him, because he doesn't sleep. Wait a minute, hold on. That would still knock him out, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, and it's also funny because he says, like, oh, the darts have enough dope to knock out anybody, but we see that they don't work. He shoots, like, three or four darts into one guy, which you would think you would only need one. That's a waste of shots. But he will, like, and it doesn't seem to faze the guy, but then he takes the drug and gets all hulked out. Wouldn't it make sense to have him take the drug before that so then we could see he's on the drug so then the darts don't work?
Yeah. It's not shot particularly well. We should have taken them first. We should have seen him taking them before the owl even enters the room.
Right. Or just make a mention that he's already currently on them.
I think that's the intention, because he does... As soon as the owl enters the room, the guy just shouts, I'm going to kill you, and throws a chair at him. but yeah, it's not really explicitly said. So the owl shan't find out. The bad guys are searching for the formula, and the owl shan't find out who Ice is. From he finds out the name Ice, half an hour, it's, who's Ice? Who's Ice?
Yeah.
He should have just watched this pilot, and they would have known. But not the longer version. The other guy attacks him with a knife. And, you know, he just quite easily just subdues that guy, knocks him down. The crazy guy runs at him. They crash through a door, over a balcony, onto a table. And then the guy with the long hair who had the knife has, by this time, grabbed Lisa because she's an idiot and came inside and walked upstairs. Uh-huh. I love doing episodes like this with you, John, because you're just like, uh-huh. Yeah, can we just go on?
Yeah, because I can't. I have nothing to add.
Please just get to the end of this shit. Please. So the owl lets the guy go because the other dude's got Lisa, and he's promptly shot a lot.
Like a lot.
The guys get away, and a screaming Lisa runs to the owl. She says she's sorry.
You left out the part where she screams, Mr. Owl!
Mr. Owl!
Yeah. And all I could think of was the Tootsie Pop, the famous Tootsie Pop commercial.
Yeah.
You know, the old commercial, like, I never made it without biting. Ask Mr. Owl, you know.
But that's just a child thing to say, though.
Yeah.
He doesn't know his name.
Doesn't mean we have to, like, have that be a thing.
No, I know, but it's just a child's way of thinking. All she knows is he's called the Owl.
Yeah.
So she didn't want to say the owl.
We could have had the bartender call him Alex.
In fact, she would have overheard Danny call him Alex at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Because she was listening in on everything.
That's true.
She would have heard his name was Alex. So, Yeah, you're a stupid child, Lisa. The owl, he's fine. He's all right. Because, you know, Kevlar. So he's got a Kevlar jacket. Isn't that fun?
Yeah. Nobody, like, all the time he got shot and, like, nobody aimed for his head.
Yeah.
Or got him in the leg.
Yeah.
Or the arm. Like, every bullet goes into his chest or his back.
See, that is actually a line in the longer version, John.
Oh.
When the lackey goes back and he tells Ice that he shot the guy loads of times. Ice says to him, did you shoot him in the head? And the lackey says, no, but he's dead. I shot him loads of times. And Ice shouts at him and says, he's the owl. Only a bullet to the head will take him out.
I did this to myself. This out of the list, I picked this one.
This is John's fault.
On paper, it sounded interesting.
Yeah, because Tom Holland.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not. The owl takes Lisa to Danny's house, tells her that her dad is a biochemist, created the drug that makes people stronger, and asks if she can keep an eye on the kid. The owl and Danny go to the bathroom to see to his wounds. They talk about his insomnia, blah, 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 8 years, who cares?
Yep.
They kiss, but then he has a flashback of his wife and then stops kissing her.
The implication seems to be that they're going to have sex.
See, you said you haven't seen the longer version, John.
Oh, is there a sex scene that
cut
out?
There's a sex scene, yeah.
Oh, damn it. The thing is, the implication is that they're going to have sex, and she gets really upset at him when he stops it. But we saw just a moment ago a shot of the little girl standing right outside and even listening in on their conversation.
The sex scene happens later on. He goes in the bus, he's waiting on the bus, and it's actually, he's having, I don't know if it's a fantasy or a flashback, but he's imagining this sex scene between him and Danny, and it goes on for like 3 minutes. So it's just a huge padding scene of network television sex.
A lot of dissolves and...
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you.
They bicker, and he tells her he doesn't want any more innocent deaths on his conscience. He perhaps foolishly promises Lisa that he will find her father, and he leaves. Danny admits to Lisa that she helps the owl the same reason the bartender does, because he saved her life. The owl thinks that anyone he cares about will die. Oh, and nobody knows what happened to make him become the owl, except him and us, because we see it in flashbacks of some mysterious dude who is in a car watching the owl's wife and child die in a car bomb. But nobody else knows that. I don't know why.
I don't know. Well, and we still don't know what gave him supernatural abilities.
No.
that he seems to possess.
I know. It's strange. The next day, and Danny is asking a doctor at the institute, I don't know what it was, I can't remember what it was, about Lisa's dad's disappearance, with Lisa there for some reason. Why is she there?
Yeah, you wouldn't bring her along.
Yeah, she needs to get caught. But apart from that, they go to Lisa's dad's office and it's been trashed, but the doctor has no idea why anyone would want Lisa's dad. Danny discovers that the bad guys are looking for, I don't know, something in the water generated by the plants.
They were trying to find out, like, ways to produce more of that drug.
Yeah, but
so they could make a lot of money, and they found, and it turns out that this stuff from the plants that gets into the water, and that's, I guess that's how the drug gets produced.
But my problem is, Mr. Pavlich.
Yes.
That this doctor, who is also supposed to be some sort of biochemist, he didn't work this out, and he knows that this office is here. But a police officer worked it out. A vice cop, I may add.
Right.
Straight away.
Yeah.
This doctor's not very smart.
No. Although I did like the twist of him being a bad guy.
Yeah.
I was not expecting that. I thought that was like, oh, hey, that was well done.
Yeah. He just turns up with two guys with guns pointing them at Lisa and
right.
Danny. We're back to, I can't remember this guy's name, but the one with the long hair that shot the owl earlier. He goes into his own apartment and sees clothes lying on the floor.
Oh, Bobby B.
Bobby B, yeah.
Because that girl shows up and says it twice.
Yeah. And I watched it twice as well. And I gave up. Three times I watched this thing, actually. He sees clothes on the floor and hears the shower running. So obviously, what does he do? He shoots his own shower door. The owl grabs him and takes him over to the balcony where he ties something to his leg. He threatens the dude to tell him, and who tells him ICE is the biggest dealer in South Central. The new drug is instant iron, which we already effing know. He doesn't know who the supplier is and that Lisa's dad discovered it but won't say how to make more. The thug then says he doesn't know where ICE's hideout is, but it is near the docks. He then throws him off a balcony where he dangles screaming. Did this guy not expect this woman to be coming over to his house? Is that not who he was supposed to think was in the shower? So why did he shoot the shower door?
I don't know. I think they just had the girl show up just for the joke of like he went out for fresh air. Because like she doesn't, you'd think she'd be able to hear him screaming.
Yeah.
But no. So I think it's just like they didn't put any further thought into it other than like, oh, it'd be really funny if like this girl showed up to his place and then Alex could say that line.
At the bar, the bartender tells the owl that something went down at the labs, and the owl throws knives at a dude who drew his gun at him because ICE has put a bounty on the owl's head. He discovers that the boat he is looking for is Cool ICE. Inside the boat, the bad guys threaten the doc, who's still on that bloody bike, with Lisa's life now that she's been captured. You know, if I was that guy with the long hair, the one who just got thrown off a balcony, I would have taken the rest of the day off.
Oh, I would have quit.
Yeah.
I'd be like, you know, I think I'm done. I this is no way to live. I'm out.
Exactly. But no, he perseveres. So, you know, maybe good on him a little.
He has a strong work ethic.
Yeah, he wants to kill this man who threw him off a balcony, even though he was perfectly okay. And he didn't actually kill him. And if the owl wanted to kill him, he'd be dead. But, you know, that's fine. You know, got to have goals. The doc tells them what they want to know. Outside, the owl is making short work of the thugs. When he sees a guy that he recognizes drive up to the boat, he is Hutchins, and we saw him in a flashback earlier. He killed the owl's family. The owl finds Danny and Lisa and unties them. He gives Danny a gun and leaves, and the idiot kid follows him. I like that Danny just shouts, "Wait!" And, you know, that's it. No, stop, please, don't run away.
I'd have been like, hey, I have a gun. Yeah. You're not going anywhere.
The bad guys press a lever on Hexaside's bike, stopping it from moving, letting the water rise. So the doc's going to drown. A thug informs ICE over the intercom that the owl was there and is promptly knocked out cold by the owl. Hutchins tells the owl, it's weird saying owl all the time, holy crap. Hutchins tells the owl that the doc is running out of time. I'm going to sneeze, hold on. No, I'm not. Yes, I am.
Oh.
This is good podcast listening, eh? Is Jimmy going to sneeze? Oh, dearie me.
Well, this is the most exciting thing that's ever happened in comparison to the episode we're talking about.
Is Jimmy going to sneeze? Because it feels like I'm going to sneeze and it's not happening.
I'm on the edge of my seat. I don't know about the rest of you.
No, it's fine.
Aww.
I know, it might happen, but I'm talking. Hutchins tells the owl that the doc is running out of time and leaves a henchman to wait for the owl to kill him. That dude shoots at the owl and Lisa, who runs out because she's a stupid kid, but she's saved by Danny. The owl throws a smoke bomb at the guy, distracts him and shoots him. They find Lisa's dad and save him just in time. This is exciting stuff, eh? The owl goes... I think John's fell asleep. The owl goes...
I'm here. goes looking... I never sleep, Jimmy.
You're genetically engineered.
That's right.
The owl goes looking for the other bad guys and is shot at by the dude who threw off the balcony earlier, and he kills him. That's that, the end. Blows them up. Realizing that they are stuck in the boat, Hutchins, ICE, and the bad doctor start to panic a little, especially when the lights are cut. apparently the owl can see in the dark, and we actually see his point of view, where he can see he sees in red, but he can see perfectly.
Yeah. Well, I love that he says it as if it's like a known thing.
Yeah.
It's like, are you his biographer? Like, how do you know
everybody
that?
Everybody knows the owl's powers. Come on. He's the owl. Everyone knows him. As they walk around, the bad doctor falls behind by actually falling. And is knocked out by the owl. Ice has taken some of the drug, and he just destroys the door to get out. Outside, Ice and the owl, or Mr. Hooter, as Ice calls him. They face off. Ice shoots him.
He's fine.
What happens to Ice? He throws him in some fire or something, doesn't he?
Fire and ice. I do like the fact that he just says, screw this, and
tosses him over into the fire. Hutchins is off the boat by this time, and the owl ziplines down onto the boardwalk, and he shoots an innocent driver in the head. This driver, right off, the driver was trying to knock him down, but he was only following instructions. Lisa's, oh, by the way, Hutchins gets away, because we need an episode 2 that never happens. Lisa's dad...
Do we? Do we need that? I would argue no.
Lisa's dad has helped into an ambulance. Lisa wants to say goodbye to the owl, despite him not liking goodbyes. She says thanks to the owl and apologizes for lying, and she didn't have any money to pay him. She says she does. He says she doesn't owe him anything and leaves, which is not really true.
No, he says you've already paid me, and it's like, I guess by being in his life or something.
Yeah, he touches her cheek in a sort of bartender sort of way.
Well, I guess it's implied that like she reminded him of his daughter, and so that. Made him feel
who's half an age.
I'm trying here. I know,
I understand. It's not giving you much, this pilot. But you know, I've ever said, John, I really appreciate you helping me out in this podcast. This will be John Pavlich's last episode. I've dropped the pilot.
Well, you didn't make this, so it isn't your fault.
No, and you picked
it, it's my fault. There's no way this could be a series. There's just not enough here. And the stuff that they hint at that is meant to go on, you know, like Hutchins and the backstory of the owl and how he became who he is. Like, it's not enough. It's not interesting enough to sustain. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't.
It would just be a client of the week.
Which I'm not 100% against, you know. But it's like, but you have to have main characters that are interesting enough to carry you through that. And this just isn't. Like, I don't care. Like, and a lot of it's just really lame. Like, we didn't mention the owl has a catchphrase, which is...
Does he?
Yes. He does. He says it like multiple times whenever he's... facing off against a bad guy, he says, "Hoot hoot, dirtbag."
Does he?
You missed that? You've watched this like three times and you've missed it?
I've watched it three times, and I know he says something, but I think it's possibly Mr. Adrian Paul's accent and the fact that it's a really bad YouTube video that I was watching.
Oh, okay.
That I didn't really hear what he said, but I know he said something.
Yeah.
So it's hoot hoot, dirtbag?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's... That makes Ice saying Mr. Hooter, calling him Mr. Hooter, just a little bit more sort of weird. Couldn't have called him something else.
Not good, just better?
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to say some of the differences in the Alan Smithy cut. There's just a couple because we went through some. But in the Alan Smithy cut, where Danny... goes to the door to answer and the owl and Lisa's there and she's holding a gun.
No.
Well, she's got a gun because she...
Oh, Danny. Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, not Lisa.
Yeah, okay. I misunderstood you. I was like, what?
The female cop has a gun when she answers the door.
Right.
To,
she says, like, this had better be good. And it's like, just because somebody comes to your door, you're going to pull out a gun and be like, it's like, what if it's a pizza man?
Well, that's actually because just before he knocks the door, she has a nightmare about the guy who the owl kicked out the window. He attacks her in her house and shoots her.
Oh.
And that's why she grabs her gun. When
okay.
The door.
So there's context that they just
yes,
removed wholesale. And so now we have that line that makes no sense.
Yeah. And the conversation between Hutchins and the owl, we learn that Alex is actually an investigative reporter.
Okay.
And he has dirt on Hutchins, that he's scamming money, and he's going to print a story about this. So that's why Hutchins kills the owl's family.
Hmm. This thing so wants to be a comic book.
It does. It really does. But don't you... the scene's very long, but don't you think that maybe just a couple of snippets of that would have been...
Would have been helpful, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, this thing was a mess, and I understand why it didn't go to series. I am actually a little surprised that it was even made in the first place, that like no one took a look at this and went, you know, this is dumb, let's not do this. But...
Yeah, it is absolutely trying to be a comic book, mm-hmm. even though it's not based on a comic book.
Right. And might have even been better off, like, at the time, like, maybe someone read the book and be like, hey, let's adapt this into an ongoing comic series.
Yeah.
That'd be fine.
That would make more sense.
That'd be fine.
Yeah. But it's not particularly well acted. It's not particularly well directed.
No. So when the little girl goes to the bar, she looks up and we see a sign hanging there, and I guess it's supposed to tell us what the name of the bar is, and I guess it's supposed to mean something. But given that this was an old YouTube video,
I couldn't see it.
I couldn't tell what it was, and so I didn't know if maybe like you
see it like another five times in the extended version.
Right.
As
so
well.
I thought maybe you could tell me, but never mind.
Sorry, no, I have no idea what the bar's supposed to be called. I think it's not like sort of shaped like a bell or something. The sign, I think.
Or something, or it looked like a big moon or something. I don't know. It's just
all right. Okay, yeah. I have no idea. It's a creepy bartender's place. That's what it's called.
It doesn't really matter. Like I was just kind of curious.
Yeah. No. I'm sorry. I can't help.
It's all right. I'm not going to lose sleep over it or anything because I never sleep.
Yeah, you never sleep anyway, John. You forgot that gag already.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that's all we've got to go for. I think we've sort of spoken enough about this pilot that doesn't really deserve to be spoken about in the first place.
No.
It's not good.
No.
But, like you said, I probably would have loved this when I was a kid.
Oh, for sure. Because I just, I wouldn't have known any better. Like, my tastes weren't refined, yet. And so I would just, I'd be like, cool.
And as we've learned from the character of Lisa in this pilot, kids are stupid. So that's, we would have been stupid kids and thought this is great.
Right, pretty much. But,
that's all we have time for. Please like the show on Facebook. You follow on Twitter at DropThePilotPod, if you wish. Send us an email with your thoughts or suggestions. DropThePilotPod@gmail.com. And where can the lovely listeners find you, Mr. Pavlich?
They can find me on my flagship podcast, which is Sofa Dogs, and that's at sofadogs.libsyn.com, LIBSYN. Or they can follow me on Twitter at John Pavlich, JohnPavlich.
Excellent. Thank you once again, John, for joining us. And I would like to thank everyone for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.